This episode is brought to you by Parda.io. Parda is a next-generation authoring platform built for customer education. Okta, Bersanio, Miro, Writer, and many other fast-growing companies rely on Parda to stay in sync with product updates, build customer learning experiences, and manage content at scale. With Figma-style collaboration, granular branding, built-in localization, an AI assistant, seamless skill jar integration, and more, Parda lets you scale customer education the way it should be, fast, flexible, and collaborative. To learn more, check them out today at parda.io/clab. That's parda.io/celab.
Hello, welcome to CLAB, the Customer Education Lab, where we take customer education myths and misconceptions and confine them to the dustbin of history. I am Adam Avramescu, and I am here today with two lovely people, two very special guests. First of all, we have Andrew Matsyavin from Parda.io. Welcome, Andrew.
Hey, Adam. Great to meet you. Thank you for having me here.
Great to see you here too. And second of all, I have someone else who is certainly not an unfamiliar face to me. He's sitting right beside me. It is my colleague at Personio, Beaker Tincher. Hello, Beaker.
Hey, Adam. Pleasure to be here and pleasure to meet you.
We are. We're actually meeting for the first time. We've worked together for two and a half years, and we've actually never seen each other before for some reason.
Never before.
Yeah, okay. That's a weird joke. So today, like usually we do the national day of before we get started, and we happen to be recording this on what is U.S. Independence Day, but I thought to look first at like what other day of the year it is, because surely even when it's like a major national holiday in the U.S., it has to be day of something else around the world. And what I found is actually there's a pretty delicious combo here. It is both National Barbecued Spare Ribs Day and National Caesar Salad Day. So we've got like a main and a side. What are y'all's opinions on spare ribs and Caesar salad?
I mean, when cooked well, spare ribs are unbeatable. And Caesar salad, not my go-to, I'd say. I don't know. What about you, Andrew?
I'm a pescatarian, Beaker, so if it's a Caesar salad with shrimps, I'm good with that. Ribs only in Texas.
that's when you break your pescatarianism.
Yeah, I have to.
Yeah, I mean, you have to for Texas barbecue. I would agree with that. Andrew, you came once to Amsterdam, and we got dinner together at a very nice brasserie. But they seemed like Amsterdam is usually a very vegetarian friendly city as well as a pescatarian friendly city, but they seemed extremely confused by your very simple request to make it pescatarian.
I don't know. Maybe that was the reason, because Adam, you were like there multiple times and you were always going like for ribs and some other stuff. So they were surprised by this kind of weird guest of yours.
They're like this American, like he wants to eat at a Chili's. He wants his baby back ribs. So like, we don't know what to do. Well, anyway, it's great to have both of you here. And to set some things up, today is an episode where, you know, usually when we do some of these episodes with our sponsors and our partners, we're talking about their product and we're talking about the way they do business. And that's going to be true here. But to set things up, we have a bit of a kind of a unique, interesting relationship. So we're going to do things differently than how we do it on a lot of these other episodes, which for context, it's that we at Personio are Parda users and have been now for some time. And so we want to tell the story of our partnership and how we've been able to transform our own content development with Parda. And as well, just in the spirit of full disclosure, I'm an advisor of Parda. So Andrew and I have been working together for some time to talk through the product roadmap and how Parda meets the needs of customer education teams and ultimately really iterate rapidly, not just to meet Personio's needs, but in general to kind of look above that and say, what else can we be doing in the field to make sure that we can, well, you could probably put it better than I can, Andrew, but I would say it's to like accelerate and democratize customer education content creation.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. And also, I think it's just the very special relationship, not just between like Andrew and Adam, but I would say with our teams, because I feel that almost every like team member on your side has been a partner to us. So we've like, I think we'll touch on this later, but we've built so much stuff together. And I think it's not just, I don't know, you're asking the right questions, but also the spirit of partnership that has been like in place since like almost the first day of the collaboration.
Yeah, I watched the collaborative channel that we have together. And I think now would be the time to also acknowledge who's here in spirit with us. Tolu, Roberto, Dee, Nari, Chelsea, like with the whole team. I didn't miss anyone, did I?
Nope.
You looked at me and then I got nervous.
Guys, you forgot like your localization team.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Adelina, Celine and team. Yeah, absolutely. Because we'll talk about localization in a moment too. But before we get into it, I mean, Andrew, maybe you can start for our listeners who might not be familiar with Parta. What is Parta?
Yeah, Parta is a new gen e-learning content development platform. This is my fourth company in the learning space. Me and my partner, we started this journey about like 10 years ago when we like set up our first agency business. We had a team of about 50 designers creating custom learning content at scale for like McKinsey, McDonald's of this world. Then we built a couple of software companies like Project LMS and onboarding automation platform and exited about 2 years ago. And we've been always dreaming of bringing products like Figma, Grade, Miro, Notion style, kind of learning development into like our space. We've been like frustrated with some of the leading players. So like this idea was born like 6 years ago, and we took quite some time just to build the product, to feel like that this is the moment where we can release it. And initially we had this dream of like, let's go and liberate every Articulate user. And it took us a while to identify this like part of the market where we can really start like making the traction. And like we discussed like a minute before this call that today is the anniversary of our first conversation with you, Adam. And I would say that you brought us in the custom education. Personio became our first client in the custom education. So since that, I think we are laser focused on the custom education. We try and kind of solve the custom education specific type of challenges related to the content development and delivery. So yeah, that's Parta.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. And I can't believe that it's already a year. I think it's interesting to bring up the timeline around this, because Beaker and I can probably talk about some of our previous experiences, but you know, like if I put my name on something, or if I would choose to be an advisor or like develop a relationship like the one that we've developed, I try to be pretty principled about these things. And the truth is, we started working with Parta because we had a certain need. And we get pitched a lot of software, we get pitched a lot of solutions, and a lot of them don't necessarily seem compelling for the stage we're at or the problems that we're trying to solve. But when we saw what Parta had to offer, even before like all of the improvements that you've made over the past year, like I think Beaker and I both looked at this and said, oh, there's actually a real opportunity here to solve an actual problem we have. It was only after that then we started talking about advisory and things like that. So I think like being able to stand behind a product that solves real problems for us, that's meaningful for me. And I'm happy to talk a little bit about some of my, because you mentioned Articulate, and maybe I'll speak briefly about that. Beaker, have you used Articulate in previous e-learning shops that you've worked in?
I have, absolutely.
What's your experience been?
You know, it's limited. I think we can call it very openly that if you're in an articulate shop, people know you're in an articulate shop. It's very consistent, I would say, but also non-differentiated. And there's so many limitations to it, a way that around the ways you collaborate, around the ways that you can design. And while that's not necessarily bad for some organizations, when you want to have something that feels different and really feels modern, it starts to kind of fall apart. And there's all this, you know, troubleshooting and testing. And when things are ready, sometimes they're not functioning the way you want to. And you just have to do all of these small tweaks to it to even get the kind of clone version of what other people are seeing. So,
yeah, because like, you know, my background is ultimately in e-learning as well. Like I started working at a custom e-learning vendor where we were building things in Flash and like we had developers writing action script and all sorts of fun stuff like that. But when I first moved in-house, that was when Articulate Presenter and Articulate Quizmaker and all of those existed. There wasn't like Storyline didn't even exist yet. And so you were building PowerPoint slides and then kind of hacking on this functionality. And that seemed pretty cool at the time. And then Articulate released Storyline. And we were like, oh, man, we can build all these crazy things on a timeline. And we can branch. And we can have all these objects and all of that. And like, again, at the time, and we're talking about, what, 2010 or so, like that seemed really innovative. And then came structured authoring and form-based authoring. And that's what got you into Rise. And at Slack, when we were looking, you know, in my previous role, when we were looking at how we were going to do authoring for our courses, we were looking across the available tool set and we're like, we have to choose the best of bad options because we're not necessarily going to be able to create something that's completely custom. And at Slack, our brand design team was really mad at us because they're like, what do you mean you're going to make these Articulate Rise courses that all look the same and we can't make them look and feel like a real Slack experience. We have brand standards, but we're like, we don't have another way forward from this. We have to be able to author in a way where customers have some functionality around what they're doing and we can offer them quizzes and interactivities and things like that because we're building certifications. But we don't have the resources to completely custom build something. And even then, with Articulate, we were running into a lot of challenges. One of the biggest ones that I remember was needing to export not just the SCORM files, but then like XLIF files for localization, get them localized by our agency into German and Japanese and languages that our customer base was operating in, and then manually re-import them into Articulate Rise files, which was really burning our team out. Like I think we all have like battle scars from just trying to do some of these very simple workflows in, again, a system that like we know what problems that system was designed to solve, but it really, I don't think, was meeting the needs of, let's say, today's customer education programs. So that was kind of like the problem statement and the backstory.
Mm-hmm.
So at Personio, at the company we work now, Beaker, you and I were thinking about the strategy, right? Like how do we author, and what should we choose? So we had Skilljar, we'd selected Skilljar as our LMS, and then we were deciding what to do about authoring. Do we want to do native authoring in Skilljar? Do we want to do third party with Articulate or something like that? This was before Parta was around. Do you remember how we made that decision?
I specifically remember the statement was, we are not going to use Articulate. But beyond that, we ended up making...
Did I say that?
That was Chelsea and me.
Oh, Chelsea.
No, Articulate.
Okay.
Basically because we just didn't want it to be the same. We wanted something that felt different. We wanted something that felt on brand. And so at the time, we decided that we would lean into Skilljar's native editor. And it, frankly, it worked really well for us. The initial release that we did in 2 years ago now was great. It looked wonderful, and we had a lot of assets that were built for us from our internal developers, and it really ended up being the right decision at the time because it did differentiate us. It looked beautiful, frankly. and very different and very unique and on brand to what we were building for the Voyage experience at that time and for Personio at that time.
And I think it was evidenced as well by having extremely high enrollment rates and completion rates of the courses.
Absolutely, 100%. But what we noticed very quickly was that the lift to get to that level of quality and differentiation, because it was all custom code and it was all back-end CSS and various other tweaks that we had to do independently on our own, the lift was pretty heavy. And we had certain people on our team that were less familiar with things like HTML than others. And it really didn't level the playing field. And while we were still developing and creating wonderful, beautiful content, it took a lot to get there. So certainly the right decision, but eventually the efficacy and the efficiency started kind of coming back around to bite us a little bit.
Yeah. And until we really started talking to you, Andrew, and started exploring Parta, we didn't really have a solution to that because it wasn't on the table for us to say, oh, we're going to go pick up a different, rapid eDev tool. So I want to turn the conversation over to you because, you know, we sort of talked about like our path up to this at Personio, but now, you know, let's do the Rashomon version of this where we look at it from your point of view, because like you mentioned, we were one of your first customer education customers, but you've been talking to a lot of companies up to this point about what their challenges are with authoring, and not all of them are exactly the same as the ones that we had at Personio. So I'd love to hear what this looks like from your perspective. Like, what does it look like when you're first talking to companies and starting to partner with them? Like, what challenges are they having?
Yeah, I think a lot of like what you've just mentioned are pretty much like shared by the other like leading custom education teams. I would probably double down on this quality aspect because, as you mentioned, the problem with kind of this RISE type of courses is that like it's a 3 seconds exercise. You can spot this as a RISE course. And then you have this a little bit like weird like setup when you have like have your marketing teams that try like to differentiate their products, like their websites. Even when you're just putting together your academy, you would love to make it branded. And then suddenly when you go into the academy, like the learning content, then beat like, I don't know, HR tech vendor, like, I don't know, productivity tool, task management. Suddenly the fonts are the same, interactions are the same, the widths of the blocks are the same. And even like worse, that it's not just the academy experience, is that like your boring compliance courses or like safety courses look the same. So I think just the users are getting blinded because the same, like they haven't the same experience. And the other thing on the quality aspect is that I think just the level of the interactivity oftentimes is not enough for your products, because some of your products require some more complex storytelling, some more structured storytelling. When you have multiple layers of decomposition, when you explain, like, I don't know, the learning paths, the workflows whatsoever. So I think the actually quality aspect is pretty much shared frustration with the existing Articulate users in the custom education space. I would also totally agree on the branding aspect. And I think we've just done so much stuff together on the branding side of things. We realized that like shadows is the part of the branding, like hover effects, the positioning of the icons on your cards whatsoever. So we've just elevated massively the granularity of the branding. And luckily, just the way how we built Brandon initially, it's just that you manage it not on a single course level, but on the workspace level so that you can cascade all your standards across the entire library. I think that resonated pretty much, not just with Personio, but with a lot of other teams. And also, well, I think...
Like, if you think about it, sorry to interrupt you for a moment. Like, yeah. I was just thinking about the point that you just made about like drop shadows and positioning on a page and things like that, which are like, on one hand, like if you just say that on its own, like maybe that doesn't sound so exciting, but like... Actually, the light bulb moment that I had is like, why are we in the customer education world? Like, we've gotten so used to not having control over those things that like web teams and marketing teams have ultimate control over. And we are completely like, either we're not able to change those things ourselves at all in other tools, or we're so reliant on our systems teams and people who know CSS to come in there and do that work that, again, like Beaker mentioned, at a certain point, it becomes almost impossible to maintain our own content without a high degree of front-end knowledge. So, like, I just want to reflect on that for a moment. That's actually a pretty big change.
Yeah, and also kind of some things that we've specifically learned when we started like collaboration with you is kind of, again, this gap between LMS experience and learning content experience, because like 97% of the content and LMSs are built by different vendors, right? Yeah. So those tools were built not necessarily to talk seamlessly to each other. So we wanted just to solve this problem as well, kind of avoiding duplicating navigation. I think, Adam, that was one of your first like feature requests, like bring me like the content so that I have my just next button in one place so that people would not click on the next button in two places.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was a huge problem that, I mean, we had again at Slack was the whole like nav within a nav. And then you finish the course and it's like, okay, but to mark complete, you have to close this course and then click this thing in the LMS. And like, we shouldn't make our customers do that. That's not like they, like, why are we abstracting like deficient technology onto our customers to have to do that. So yeah, I was very insistent on that to start with, I remember. But also even when we were looking, when we were doing our LMS search, like before we even decided whether we were doing native authoring or not, like that was one of the considerations that Chelsea, who was running our vendor evaluation, was looking at, is like, what is the native content experience? What is the embedded content experience via SCORM or any sort of rapid dev? And like, how do you actually get that to work? And in some cases, you would have to do like a whole pop out where the course opened up in a new window outside the LMS to even slightly get that to work.
Yeah, totally. And I think the other problem that we also learned like from you guys is that how we can maintain all this custom learning experience consistent and how we can take care of the velocity. Because the product evolves super fast, because we have like really kind of the team of designers that consists of more than one designer. So even if I have like superstar designers on my team, the challenge is like Michelangelo and Picasso have different sense of beauty. So we need to find the way how we can just kind of ensure the consistency on top of all this custom experience. So I think this is the other aspect that hasn't been solved on the internal L&D side of things, because oftentimes we see that like learning designers are coming from the internal L&D and they don't face this problem. So this kind of another specific thing about custom education that you have to think of.
Internal L&D tends to, I don't know if overvalue is the right word, but place a much higher weight on like making things feel like they have a certain definition of like kind of interactive and creative and engaging, which like often means like, you know, make something look like Jeopardy or make something look like a game show or like build a game or something like that. Whereas in customer education, we're much more concerned with making things engaging by making them feel on brand and polished and simple for customers.
Yeah, I'd wholeheartedly agree. It's been just to kind of, you know, trumpet the Parta experience here is that global setting that you mentioned earlier, and the ability to kind of templatize really aligns the quality assurance process when we go to the review. Like, in, you know, that's some of the feedback that we get that's extraordinarily positive from our customers and even internally from other stakeholders, is that, you know, they know that when it's going to come to us and when they're going to see what we have, the consistency is there regardless of if it's D or if it's Tolu or if it's Roberto or if it's Nari. It feels very similar. And it's because of that ability to be, you know, replicate the exact same experience over and over without having to think about it. Whereas, you know, individual components to be able to use from like a developer or HTML, you have to kind of tweak it each and every time. So just the no code or low code experience is much, much better there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Andrew, I think like the other thing that comes to mind for me is, I'm sure, you know, we're all under pressure, especially in SaaS companies with you know, rapidly developing products to increase our velocity, right, in terms of how we create and update content, and knowing as well that your product has more collaborative features that allow SMEs to contribute, allow for quicker review, more collaborative review. This is sort of like making content authoring feel more like working together in Figma. I think that's a super cool concept. Like, I'm sure you have a lot of customers coming to you as well and saying like, we need to speed things up. But like, what does that look like when you're talking to customers? What are they being challenged with in terms of their velocity?
Yeah, I think it's probably the first challenge that mentioned by most of like Parta users is that like I feel people at some point, they just feel that it's a kind of necessary like evil that they face with. I think the opportunity actually comes from updated workflows, the way how you can rethink your content development and updates. And there are like a number of the first opportunity is just like standardize, use like all your like global settings, like Bicker mentioned, like templates, Brandon, like template courses, templates, whatsoever. This is a quick win that you can bring. The other thing is the workflows. And I think it's a great example that you guys with collaboration with Smith, because when we thought of building Parta, we were thinking like, hey, in Figma, 2/3 of their users are not professional designers. So what if we build the workspace where the learning professionals can actually work alongside with the SMEs and find the way how they can enable them to create the content? That was a dream scenario back, like, I don't know, a few years ago. And fast forward to today, we're seeing this kind of happening across different cultures, different companies, sizes, industries, whatsoever. But maybe like Bicker, if you can share your story about the kind of SME collaboration, I think you have a very just interesting example.
Yeah, absolutely. So recently, Personio launched a very cool payroll product, and it is in German. And none of my current learning experience designers are native German speakers. So that creates a little bit of a challenge when working with a subject matter expert. So we kind of went back and forth, how do we do this? What do we do? And actually, D-Wire on my team decided to really lean into Parta and the collaboration inside of Parta. And not only that, she also created an enablement course in Parta to teach our collaborators how to use Parta on the other side. So she literally designed, built, and launched a course inside of Parta to teach them how to use it.
It's very meta, super cool.
Yeah. And so, it's worked so, so well. Once our partners, I believe it was Yule was the first one to really get in there from our teams, started using it.
And Yule is she's a payroll ops specialist.
Yeah,
right?
She's a specialist.
She's not an instructional designer. She's on our payroll ops team working with customers who are using our payroll product.
Right, yeah. And she does a little bit on the enablement side, but not on the design side. And immediately, once she finally like grasped the tools, she was able to visualize it. And Dee was able to work with her every step of the way to kind of show exactly what this end product would look like. And I know a lot of people collaborate in things like Google Docs, right? Or in slide decks or those types of things that are outside of the editor. And it's very hard for your subject matter expert to really visualize and understand what the end product is going to look like. And that can sometimes cause this sort of friction of like a brain dump onto our learning experience designer that then has to storyboard or manipulate it and then go back and kind of show little bit by little bit versus what started happening with Parta was the visualization was there right out of the gate. And Yule really understood how this information, what the narrative was going to look like for the folks that were going to go through it. And by way of that, we started a pilot group internally with other people in our payroll operations team. And the feedback straight away was, oh my gosh, this is so easy to consume. And let's be honest, payroll is not exactly the most exciting topic matter.
It is if you use Personio payroll
in Germany, because it simplifies everything. You can just quickly go in there. It really makes things much easier. But our customers now know that better because of the fact that they have this collaboration, this end result from Dee and Yule and the various other folks in the pilot that worked on it. And all the way through, it was the commentary system inside of it, or the light task management that's there to say, here's some stuff that we need you to do by X time. And the very first course that was launched to the pilot group, I think it was like 98% there. And the very small tweaks and very few little bits and pieces. And it was all developed in German, where Dean never once had to go in and say, I need to translate this entire courseware in Phrase or Smartling or any of those other systems, I can just work with her, say, design element here, and get the feedback from the other subject matter experts. And that ability to work cross-functionally between languages and expertise is just something you don't get to do in hardly anything, let alone a design tool for customer education.
Yeah, and that's really interesting because that's a use case, again, that just wouldn't really have been nearly as possible in the past. But then there's also the other side of this where there are things that we were doing already, for instance, through native authoring, that we were able to change the process or transform it or make it more efficient with Parta. And Beaker, you know, I don't think I said your title at the very beginning. You're our head of customer training and credentialing. So a lot of what we deliver in our academy is your brainchild, right? Like you thinking about the experience that we want to deliver and how it should look and feel. So I would love for you to also talk a little bit about how we were able to transform that over time from that initial problem statement you had talked about, where we were sort of hitting the limits of how much we were able to do, you know, just by like getting in the HTML ourselves.
Yeah, it was pretty much immediate. I'm not going to lie. As soon as we saw that, okay, this actually functions the way we want it to, where we can set these standards, we can make sure that the CSS elements and the design elements sort of cascade. And also by partnership with Andrew and his team, you know, we got deeper and deeper into the ability to just have this set and like set it and forget it, I guess is the best way to put it. Like we set the stuff and then our learning experience designers no longer had to worry about tweaking it and really messing with it. And, you know, across the board, we saw up to a 50% efficiency gain in the development process, going from manually manipulating the content and making sure the code was fine and sort of doing a final process of really reviewing the structure and design from that coding element, that was eliminated entirely. And the design aspect just, it flourished. It really became a lot more efficient, a lot easier lift. And, you know, from there, I believe, we started last summer and we had our first courseware fully designed and ready to go by, I think it was like mid-September, with it being brand new and not having every element ready to go. We already saw the efficiency gains like almost immediately. And it was really an interesting kind of process to see all of that sort of brain power that was put towards those elements be just shuffled or refocused on the actual design aspect, the narrative elements, the storytelling. It really emboldened and kind of enriched that experience much, much more to just give the designers that time back.
Yeah, you have to think like how much time are your instructional designers spending just like fighting the format that they're locked into, or like how much is it impeding their creativity because they have to do things in a certain format?
Absolutely. And I would argue that we've also we've been tweaking it and making it even better over the months since then as well. And frankly, we've even been able to kind of get as granular with it as being able to say, okay, these are the broad strokes quality that we had before. Now we can get into the nitty gritty of like a checklist of, because we don't have to think about the bigger ones. We can say, you know, oh, this small stuff needs to be done each time. And that reflects out to our customers that we have sort of this high quality bar that's not taking us nearly as much lift to get there in the first place.
Yeah. And so that's the design itself, but there's also, you know, things that live outside the design and kind of live in process. And Beaker, maybe I'll start with you because I think this is sort of the other part of the story is there's like course design, but then there's also, okay, we have a fast changing product and things update. We need to be able to look across our content to see what needs to be updated and update that quicker. We've been able to make some strides against that too now, right? Like I think that's now the thing that we're looking more into.
Absolutely. You know, we've moved away from this idea of having external, let's say, drafts, if you will, that we have to revisit to go through almost like a storyboard aspect and scour through this storyboard and what have you, and been able to do it directly in the Parta product. So we can go specifically into Parta and we can say, you know, these are the courses that need to be updated. We just recently did a massive, massive overhaul of our implementation, our kind of bread and butter material. And as part of that, we did a lot of that work directly in Parta. And the work itself, being able to work with the SMEs that knew what was coming for this big, big rebrand that was very exciting, I've gone through multiple rebrands in my career, and this one was one of the easier ones I've ever had encountered as far as from our side, getting the information, being able to translate that into the content itself. And going back to the subject matter expert kind of collaboration itself, pulling people in to do things like localization and translation review directly in Parta and being able to see it in context internally, that was accelerated drastically as well. So, you know, we've seen efficiency gains really, frankly, across the board. I'll even call out the integration with Phrase. We click a button and it goes to our localization vendor, and then it comes right on back, and then we can tweak it with our internal reviewers. That's a vast improvement on process that just wasn't there before. And when we're dealing with multiple languages, multiple countries where our customers exist, it really poises us to be able to do this in a much more efficient, much more rapid, to keep up with the release processes sort of manner. Andrew, I don't know if that's something that you've experienced with any of the other folks as well.
I think you just were the first one to dare to dream about this integration with Phrase. because yeah, I think localization is just like what we've discussed before, the challenge of consistency, the challenge of the custom design, the challenge like of the like how we can update our like learning materials at the speed of our product. But then localization, it just multiplies all of these challenges, right? So I think that was actually one of the first things that Adam, you mentioned when we like met like first time, like localization is one of the major challenges like for the custom education teams. So yeah, I think the integration with Phrase was a great learning experience for us as well, because we had to deep dive into understanding all the kind of nitty-gritty like elements of the workflows. But I think it so much makes sense now. I mean, like just the consolidating some of the workflows, not just within the kind of the existing tech stack with the current custom education teams, but across the entire company. Because what we've learned is that like localization oftentimes starts outside custom education. So you have like product localization, you have some other teams using like localization, like central localization teams. And I think it so much makes sense to find a way how we can consolidate and leverage the efforts of the other teams put into localization efforts, so that we have like our translation memories, we have the pipelines, templates, all the knowledge and expertise of the existing localization teams. So integration with Phrase, I think it's just like one of these kind of great examples how we can rethink content development through the perspective of the entire company. And I think that's the other like aspect of working in the custom education, because unlike other learning teams, you are guys very much embedded in the business itself. And this is the opportunity like for like products like ours to find a way how we can consolidate and better connect with the rest of your tech stack, so that you feel more connected and more efficient from the company perspective. So
yeah, and Andrew, like I know that you're looking into some of these other related issues, right? We talked about being able to search across courses and update them. We talked about some of the things about publishing. We talked about some of the areas, we just talked about localization, but I think all of this comes down to, it's one thing to be creating an authoring tool and make sure that it's easy for a learning experience designer to use and it's customizable and all of that. And then it's a second thing to think about how all of that is integrated in a tech stack and how, and like what role your product should be playing in relation to the discoverability of content. So I'm curious if you can say a little bit more about how you're thinking about that.
Yeah, very good question. Because I think like in the first stage of our existence, we were being like totally focused just on the solving like content development problem. And I wouldn't say that we completely solved it. There are like some other further like productivity improvements and how we can leverage AI to streamline the workflows. And we are like working on this aspect as well. But I think, yeah, what we've learned is that kind of we need to find a way how we can translate all the efficiency gains that you get with the like faster content development into like delivering this experience to your users. So kind of, I think the first thing we've solved together is building the integration with Skilljar, so that we can instantly deliver the content and instantly update it. What we are working on now, like again, just I will get to the like ultimate experience that we are trying to build, but now we are working also on SCORM dispatch so that you can just kind of upload your lessons, because what we've also kind of built together is just with you and with Debitsmith is just slicing every course in a separate, every lesson as a separate SCORM, so you can reuse like the same lessons across multiple courses, and again you can update it once in part and get all the updates everywhere. Again,
it's also going to be really useful for companies who need to produce the custom content that is syndicated to your, like, say, your like major enterprise clients' own LMSs.
I think it's even within, yeah, like even within the same company. So what we've learned is that custom education is the first team to create the content, but then you have partner enablement, you have revenue enablement, sometimes you have like internal onboarding, and all the other learning teams can actually leverage the stuff created by the custom education teams. So we try and also kind of to solve the problem how you can reuse the same content, and we've built this kind of multiple workspaces architecture so that you have like multiple teams working inside Parta and collaborating with each other. So even without just, I don't know, like syndicating to customers, but even like internally how you can reuse kind of the same content. And we increasingly see more and more companies trying like to optimize the process, and not within one learning team, but across the board. But like, Adam, coming back to your original question about content delivery and discoverability, we are working on this global AI search so that, because if we zoom out for a second, I think, I don't know how about you, but probably 70% of my search experience now go through Perplexity and ChatGPT. So I just use Google when they know exactly that I would love kind of go to, like, for example, Personio Academy. But all my other kind of like queries are done through like chat interface. So I think this adoption is kind of at full speed. And like in a few quarters, or in a few years, we'll have like a universe of users with the default experience of trying to find the answers through chat interface. So if we keep just LMS experience with multiple clicks, find the academy, login, type of user, filtering, learning path, course, lesson. So this kind of, I don't know, like 12 clicks will be like very kind of mediocre experience compared like to chat interface. So we've started like building the architecture that allows to export all the content created in Parta as a markdown, but also building APIs so that you can connect everything created in Parta with your search engine so that you can like access all the content through like your go-to AI provider, and give your like users the opportunity to interact with all the content without leaving the product.
Yeah, which is, I mean, very exciting for us and very in line with our vision as well. Because Beaker, I guess we can both talk a little bit about this. Like in Personio, we have a Personio assistant, and that Personio assistant, it's a chat based AI interface that allows our customers to do a couple of things. Like one is actually derive insights directly from Personio. So instead of going through a bunch of reports, you could ask like, hey, what percentage of my headcount in this location is currently on leave or something like that, right? And you get that answer in the chat without having to build a custom report. Super cool. But of course, we're also using that for support and education. So if you have a question about how to do something in the product, as a customer, you don't necessarily care whether the source for that was a Help Center article, an academy, or more. You want an answer, and then in many cases, depending on what stage of your life cycle you're at, maybe we want you at that point to discover a course or to at that point enter into some more long form experience so that you really build like the right base. So if we can serve content from our academy contextually directly into the Personio assistant and have those CTAs built, and that's all being served from a vector database or something like that, then I think we are offering a much more powerful and contextual experience to our customers. So that's where we're trying to head to.
Yeah, I can definitely back that up and say that even the first step of us utilizing the multiple SCORM files that Andrew mentioned earlier gets us even closer to just tagging and direct topics to be surfaced ever before, like even before we ever enter into a vector database. Because right now, you know, SCORM packages are huge and they take forever to load and they take forever for, to scour, even if you have an AI tool that can even scour SCORM, which is quite rare. Breaking those down as kind of a step one towards a future where we have that access from APIs and being able to pull even deeper is already a step, a good step in the right direction for us to be able to, as Adam mentioned, contextually serve more granular, more specific information that's necessary at that time. So just even those small improvements are pushing us further and further along to that ultimate vision of truly contextual, truly in the moment serving of this information and in those CTAs that Adam mentioned.
Yeah. So we're in our last few minutes here. So as we start to wrap things up, I guess here is where we also, reveal the secret story that has been going on the whole time during this conversation, because you've heard us allude to it quite a bit, but I think like so much of this story is not just about Parta's features or our content development processes, but really the partnership that we undertook the whole way. And I think Beaker and Andrew, you could probably both speak to this as well, but something that I've been really impressed by is just the depth of the partnership and how quickly we've been able to move from identifying a problem to developing a solution, developing improvements that don't just benefit us, but benefit the rest of your customer base, other customer education programs. And in some cases, like the localization one is probably a really good example, because here we're talking about like a three-way complex integration, like really like sticking to it and making sure that we can get to a point where it's effective and it does what it needs to do. I mean, those are the types of things that if you're doing an evaluation, you're not necessarily going to see that on the RFP. But to me, whenever I think about working with a company, like that level of partnership is worth its weight in gold.
Yeah, I'd love to weigh in and say something that sounds a little hyperbolic, but it is not. And it is that working with Parta is quite literally the best vendor partnership I have ever had in my many, many years in the customer education and education space. And I don't say that lightly. I've worked with a lot of different partners and some of them were really cool, but it's above and beyond. I mean, it really feels like they're an extension of our team. They're so responsive. We have just this like deep rapport, but even in the times when it's hard, like there've been times when it's hard. Phrase is probably the key example. It was really complicated and it took some time, but not once did we give up. And it was very open and clear communication backwards and forwards. And it's those types of moments where even in the kind of stress, we're there to support each other and openly communicate with each other about what the needs are and what the next steps are. Even things about like, I won't reveal any of it because it's sort of like theoretical road mapping and whatnot, but we have some insight too into the future of what could happen with Parta in the next 6 months plus. And to have that level of trust from a vendor and that like really colleagues at this point, to be able to reveal that stuff so far in advance that these are just ideas that maybe will or will not come to fruition and kind of the priorities that go with it. To have that kind of trust from someone and not just say, oh, well, we can't talk about that because it's so far out. It's just not typical, but it's very welcome. And I do want to thank Andrew, you and your team for being so open with us and being able to collaborate with us from the very start. It has really been refreshing. And is often one of the highlights that we get to see of how we interact back and forth, just in Slack channels or grabbing a quick call with each other or what have you.
Well, Beaker, thanks so much. For me as a founder, it's not just like, I don't know, kind of some words. It's like, it's really personal. So I appreciate the partnership and right back at you, like working with a lot of other companies, I feel that you also have this very unique culture of how you are working with us, because really kind of it's literally like from day one, it has been a partnership, like collaborating on the roadmap, allocating your resources and your time to like deep dive into understanding the specifics of the workflows, challenging, like brainstorming, building together. And I think it's actually this example, I would encourage the other companies like just to rethink the existing relationship with their vendors, how they can potentially think of them as partners. Because I feel that it's not just something that kind of supply driven. I mean, like, it's not just the vendor specific. I believe it's also the way how you act as a design partner, you as a company, as a corporate. So I think it's something like very specific to your team. And as I mentioned in the very beginning, it's not just like two or three of us who have been running this partnership. We've been feeling this across like your entire team, just like, again, like Tolu, Neri, Roberto, Chelsea, Adelina, spending the time, like dreaming the art of possible, finding the solutions. So I think it's a, yeah, like, and again, like from the founder perspective, it's so critical to have this like early visionaries on your journey with whom you can really build something together. And I feel that with you guys, we've built like so much stuff that really solves the problem, not just of Personio, but of so many custom education teams. So I think just it's not just thank you like for me, but I believe there are a lot of other party users that will appreciate like our partnership and what this partnership has brought into the product and solve the other kind of the problems of the other teams.
And as Andrew says as well, like this is a mentality that you can take with many vendors that you work with, right? Like treating them as partners, and even better, of course, if as partners, like you make it easy to have that sort of relationship and there aren't a lot of artificial barriers in place. So this has been an excellent conversation. I think we've really covered some strong ground here. And so I want to close out by thanking both of you for taking the time to talk today. Listeners, if you are interested in learning more, we are going to have a landing page on, Andrew, what's the URL?
Parta.io/CELab.
All right, parta.io/CELab. That's C-E-L-A-B. And if you want to learn more about our show, we have the site at customer.education, where you can find the show notes and other materials. Thank you to Alan Coda, as always, for our theme music. Thank you to Andrew and to Beaker for joining us today. And listeners, I think we are still sitting at a 4.9 rating with 49 reviews on Apple Podcasts. If you are number 50 and you give us a 5-star rating and it gets us to 5.0 stars, then I don't know. I'll make you a sticker in ChatGPT. So thanks everyone for listening. Go out and educate, experiment, and find your people. Thanks everyone.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Beaker.
Thanks, Ben.